Are we on?
Yeah.
Okay. It's 6 o'clock, and so I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting for Wednesday, May 27th, 2015 to order. The first order of business is the roll call. Copperood?
Here.
Fesco?
Here.
Karnowski?
Here.
Fredericks?
Here.
Metzler?
Here.
Rupp? Here. Keir?
Here.
So we should note that it's the first time we've had all seven volunteer positions filled and all present in a while. The next order of business is an introduction of our new member, Brent Keir. You want to
say a few things about myself? I moved to the village from Kansas in November 2012. My wife and I have a son, 8-month-old son, Crosby, and I am a funeral director at Lindahl Funeral Home. I've been there for a little while, and previously with the Newcomer Funeral Home in Green Bay downtown. Done that my whole life. What got me interested in this once I saw the email blast come around is I once was on a historic preservation society down in Dade City, Florida, where I lived and worked, and it actually absolved because of during summertime you had a lot less of the locals there, or snowbirds as we call them, so it went away. So when I saw this opportunity, I thought I'd volunteer and see what it's about. And luckily, I've got time on my schedule to do that and be a part of it. So.
Thanks. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
The next order of business is to modify and adopt the agenda. Are there any changes or additions? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
And we have a second, a motion and a second. This is one of those items where you don't have a discussion. Is that right, Bart?
I didn't bring that sheet with me.
That we learned from
those classes.
Taking the class. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. The next item is election of chairperson. So I've been a chairperson for a year, and I think if necessary, I could be chairperson for another year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
But we should open the nominations, and if anyone else wants to nominate somebody, I mean, I'm happy to do it, but, you know, everybody should have a chance. So
I'll move to nominate Howard.
I'll second that.
We have a nomination. Any other? Hearing none, I guess we'll close the nomination process. And what do we do?
I think we have a motion to close.
We have mm-hmm. a motion.
I'll make a motion to close it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Metzler?
Tie.
They can have the first and second.
So we need to have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nobody minds me doing it. Do we need a vice chair? We probably should.
I think I was.
You were last time.
And I wouldn't mind being that again.
So.
Motion.
Okay. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anyone else in the nominating process? So I guess we need a motion to close the nominations.
So moved.
Second. We have a second. All those in favor of Barb as vice chair for the next year, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? I suppose the record should show that I abstained from voting for myself, right?
And I abstained on some.
I probably said aye just out of habit. Next item on the agenda is to approve the minutes from the February 25th meeting. Everybody have a chance to take a look at that. Seems like a long time ago.
I'll move to approve.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 5, announcements. Trevor.
All right, so I have a few here. The update on the National Register of Historic Place nominations. I know, I believe back in February I had announced that it was going to be on the May agenda for the Board of Review. But I misspoke or I misunderstood what they told me. They said the next meeting was in May. They didn't say that we're on the May agenda. Mm-hmm. But I did find out that I did confirm that we are on the August agenda. So that will for sure happen in August. And that date is August 28th. I believe the meeting will be held in Janesville. So it's a morning meeting. I will, of course, send out a reminder in case anyone wants to go when the time comes.
You know what day of the week it is? I don't have one.
I don't. I can check here quick.
We don't have to know.
It's Friday.
Friday.
Or weekend.
Take a long weekend.
Yeah. The next one is we, of course, weren't able to meet in April. We didn't have a quorum. One of the items on the agenda was to recommend a proclamation to the Village Board kind of recognizing May as Historic Preservation Month in the Village. It's already recognized by the National Park Service and Wisconsin Historical Society as Historic Preservation Month. So just kind of a next step, an extra measure. But since we weren't able to do it, we just kind of pushed it forward with the to the Village Board, and they did approve that. So even though there's a few days left, it's still Historic Preservation Month in the Village.
Still me.
Yep. And then the final thing, I just did include last month's article of Alleyway Neighbors in here, just kind of FYI. I know we had talked about kind of just spreading the word to the residents, and Alleyway Neighbors was brought up, and we reached out to Mia Johnson from Alleyway Neighbors, and she was happy to do this, and she said she was happy to do any future articles as well. So, very nice resource to have.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for
that was nice
for
to see.
Writing. Yeah. Writing up. I saw that and said, oh, Trevor. He's been published. No, that's good. That's good. That's a way, like you said, it's building awareness.
Right.
Everybody aware that these things are going on. Anything else from you? Anything from anybody else on the committee? Announcements?
Actually, I will just mention, kind of, it's not really related to historic preservation, but since everyone here lives within the village, we'll mention the farmers market that's going to be taking place starting July 9th. It'll be a shared parking lot with Village Hall in Bellin right next door. Looking about a dozen vendors for the first year. It'll be every Thursday evening from 4 to 7.
Great.
Starting when?
July 9th. It'll go through October 15th, I believe.
Anybody else have any?
Is that going to be cash only, or is it the vendor going to make the decision? The
vendor's going to make the decision.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was October 15th, the last
Yes.
Your parsonage may be up by then.
Well, they're up, but they're not very
tight. Item number six, public appearances.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. A couple different items. This committee is very important because the state DOT in the reconstruction of Riverside Drive has to pay attention to the surveys that are done by this committee and give extra preferential treatment to historic properties. I'm here to specifically talk about a couple different historic districts. One is Old Alloway, which was overlooked by the contractor. It's my feeling that the survey that was done in 2012 that initially presented to us in November of 2012 was not properly done, did not meet federal standards for integrity, historic and architectural integrity, specifically on the Sunset Circle properties, and we've gone through that. The State Historic Preservation Office has designated that all 16 of those properties met their standards for integrity, and there's no way by anybody's subjective standards that subdivision should be a historic district. And because that one particular one was done improperly, that puts the entire survey into question. So I've said it before, and I'll say it again now, that the State Historic Preservation Office tampered with the federal guidelines and made special exceptions for that neighborhood, and they shouldn't have done that. And by doing that, they concentrated on a certain neighborhood and overlooked Old Alloway. And Old Alloway is actually what we should be protecting right now. The Murphy Coles estate is at risk because of the new construction coming in, and the people along the Murphy Coles estate, and particularly the front gate on Riverside Drive, are entitled to the protection of this committee. So I did bring pictures of the Murphy Coles estate with some flags on the gate in the front. The State Historic Preservation Office has said that is not a historic structure, that is simply a remnant, and it has no historic significance. And he made that decision before the survey was actually done. So he gave those instructions to the contractor that did the survey, and I have the email that said that he would agree to go ahead and look at that property, but he came to the conclusion before the survey was done, which is exactly what happened on our survey of 2012. So the State Historic Preservation Office, I believe, should not be involved in intensive surveys for the federal government, because they start with a conclusion and they do not let the contractors do their work, and thus we end up with substandard work product. So that was my complaint. And then I've also asked that this committee consider requesting that the Murphy Coles property be added to the next round of property-specific surveys to be nominated to the Historic Register, because this is the only one that's actually at risk. So I would request that the Murphy Coles property be included, as well as the chauffeur's house, which was overlooked, and the gate.
I think the Murphy Coles house is eligible, isn't it? The big house?
You see, so you're jumping to conclusions here. It's the Murphy Coles property, and the State Historic Preservation Office has not designated how far out from the house that you're able to, that the property is historic. So they didn't take a look at the entire estate.
They just looked at the structure.
They did one building. The other building, which was identical in all respects, with except for the size of the house, was a chauffeur's house. In fact, it's an even better demonstration because it has better landscaping that is more in line with what it originally was. So that was overlooked. So if the Murphy Cole, if the primary Murphy residence was qualified to be on the National Register, then the chauffeur's house absolutely should have been, because it's identical. In fact, it's an even better example and a more rare example than the Murphy Estate House. And then, in addition to that, the structure, the gate structure on the front should have been included. And on the Miramar property, according to the federal guidelines, the subdivision entrance monuments, which would be the two pillars that are kind of modest, but they're there and they've always been there, those are actually historic pillars. So those are structures that are standing, and the fact that the State Historic Preservation Office decided that they didn't want to include them when they did their reconnaissance survey, that screwed up the entire survey. So I'm talking about just a couple of examples, but the entire survey was botched, and I've been doing a lot of research into the exact dimensions of Old Alloway, which is our most historic district and our most beloved historic area, and that was not included at all in the intensive survey. So Old Alloway goes from 172 to Mission, from the river to Oakwood. That's what's considered Old Alloway now. It was part of the original plat of the of Alloway from 1893. It was larger, but that was platted by Green and Vroman, who were developers, local developer and a Chicago developer, and this was going to be the city of Alloway. So that whole story got ignored by the contractor because the State Historic Preservation Office had other stories that he wanted to tell. So that's my complaint. So my specific request is that the Murphy Coles Estate, all the structures associated with the Murphy Coles Estate, which would include the front gate and the chauffeur's house, be included in a request for a intensive survey. And if this, I think that the next step is if the state doesn't want to fund that, then the local residents, it would be up to the local residents to go ahead and fund that, which I think that they might be willing to do. If that gate is at risk, and this would save that gate from being taken down during the construction process. The state has already sent somebody out to evaluate the cost of taking it down, moving it, and repairing it because it's 100 years old. It's in kind of rough shape. You know, trees have fallen on it, and it's rusted, and it doesn't look beautiful. But not all historic properties look beautiful, and this was the largest, most magnificent estate in Brown County when it was built. And that's what established Alloway as the premier residential spot to live in Brown County for the next 50 years. Thank you.
Do you have Thank any you. Documentation you can supply?
For what?
For your claims.
What claims? Which claims do you want me to document? Specifically? Well, just tell me, and I will get you them.
Which you're contesting.
You know what I was. Excuse me. What I was thinking was that maybe this should be an agenda item for our next. What do you think, Trevor? Should we? You know, we have an agenda for tonight, so we can't discuss it tonight, really. But maybe this is important enough to actually have a discussion as an agenda item for the next meeting.
What specifically?
And then at that time you could provide to Trevor anything.
Well, we have three. Well,
you know, things that you want to put forward, maybe put them in writing and pass them on to Trevor. I'm just proposing this, so that we get a chance to actually review your concern.
Okay, so we have the three concerns that I raised tonight, and that would be the architectural integrity of the 16 homes on Sunset Circle, which is Sunset Park. The architectural integrity of the Murphy Coles Estate, including structures, which would include the chauffeur's house and the front gate, and the architectural integrity of the front entrance monuments for the Miramar, as well as the two houses, particularly the Larson House going into Miramar. So, but the the easiest ones would be for this committee to take a look at the 16 homes on Sunset Circle and decide for themselves if they meet the standards of architectural integrity, which would be 50 years old. And there's a whole list of other things, but they don't even meet the 50 years old, and they've been modified. So, I mean, that in and of itself casts doubt on the entire survey. And the state has looked at it. The State Historic Preservation Office has looked at it intensely, and they've come down very hard on me, as well as the executive committee that met on December of 2012 without your knowledge. There was a meeting without this board and without this committee's knowledge to put a kibosh on my complaints, and that was led by village staff without your knowledge, and it was you were there.
There was not an executive committee. There
she was an executive. She's the chief executive officer. That executive committee was established on for that meeting, and then it eventually involved other board members.
It was not the purpose of that meeting, and you know it.
Okay. So that, so there were complaints and there were resignations from the board, from this committee, following the November meeting, and there was a lot that went on that should have been documented, and there's no record of that meeting, and that meeting went on for 3 hours. Thank you.
Let me just ask Trevor, do you feel that you have enough information to form an agenda item for this for us to discuss, or do you think? What's your opinion?
I could put, you know, review of items of or from the intensive survey as an agenda item, but I would need information.
We do not have the qualifications to override an intensive survey from the state.
Yeah, well, maybe our discussion would be that. But this is not the forum to do that because Mr. O'Rourke speaking as you know. As a public appearing, and so, but we could say just what you said, but have it at the next meeting. I think we ought to do that.
Well, this went to the board in March, and
this
made a final determination.
And we need to stop. So you did say that this committee doesn't have the right to override the State Historic Preservation Office. That particular argument was made at the December 2012 meeting, and we were told that if we did our own survey with our own research, that they would put on the comments that when it went to the review committee that they did not approve it and that they would do everything in their power to stop it from moving forward, which is what they've done. So that was in the 2012 meeting, and Joe DeRose said that, and that was pretty much the end of the meeting, and at that point the village staff decided that the writing was on the wall, and the meeting then came to an end when they said that. So Joe DeRose was the one who said that we didn't have that we had the right to do whatever we wanted to do, but if we submitted, no, we had the right to do an intensive survey. If we wanted to fund it, he couldn't stop us from doing it, but if we submitted an intensive survey to the state, that when it came time for them to approve it or disapprove it to the review committee, that they would put in derogatory comments on the review form that would essentially stop the intensive survey from being approved, the alternate intensive survey. So that is why I said, and I've been going on for a number of years, that if the intensive survey were to be redone, that it had to be paid for by the National Park Service, because the State Historic Historic Preservation Office said that if we did it, that they would sabotage it. So they said that at the December meeting, and that was what put the end to that. And you guys weren't party of it, and it surprised me that there was no record of it, but that meeting went on for 3 hours, and it is in different, the previous operating officer for the village set up that meeting, and she mentioned it in several of our meetings. That's it. Thank you.
Anyone else? No other public here. So we'll go on to item number 7, discussion of the outreach to National Register eligible homes.
All right. Well, this was something that came up at the January Planning Commission meeting, and then it was discussed at the February Historic Preservation Committee, and kind of tossing around some ideas of how to kind of get the public more involved and aware of historic preservation, and then when they are aware, how to keep them engaged. Some of the things tossed around were alleyway neighbors, and as you saw, that was kind of, we're kind of using that resource. But another suggestion was to talk to the Green Bay Historic Preservation Commission. And so I did, and they kind of directed me with a few resources they give to their residents. One is National Register publications found on the National Park Service website. A lot of it's pretty detailed and pretty lengthy. So, you know, whether or not the average resident is going to be interested in it, you know, honestly, probably not. You might have the avid historian looking into this and might find this as a valuable resource, but from my personal opinion, I don't see a lot of these documents that are 90-plus pages. I don't see the average resident kind of combing through all those, but it is something to be aware of that we could use as a future resource. The other one was a little more user-friendly, I think, and that's on the Wisconsin Historical Society website, so wisconsinhistory.org. And you go to this Browse tab, and Historic Homes and Properties, Preserve Homes and Properties, and it kind of has a few selections you could go for. The one they recommended is this Preserve Your Historic Building under the Education tab. And kind of has an interactive tool that you can click on what part of the building you want to learn about, kind of if you're doing a window project or redoing your roof or doing siding, you can click on that. And it gives you a list of some articles on how to go about replacing some structures. Like replacing clapboard wood siding. It gives the difficulty level and kind of gives a basic step-by-step of how to go about doing it, which could be useful. But again, we'd have to direct the residents to the website and they'd have to be interested in looking at this. So kind of breaking this down and how we could disseminate this to the residents is still kind of the easiest way. I haven't come up with one, but at least this is something that is out there.
This is something that you said, that, you know, to direct the residents to this website. How would that happen? How would residents know that this is available?
Yeah, that'd be probably something either the Alloway Buzz or
put it in the Alloway Neighbors.
Yeah, or yeah. Email blast or
yeah.
You know. Or even direct mailing, too.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, it's going to have to be someone that's probably actively seeking this information.
Yeah.
You know.
Most people wouldn't. Maybe.
Yeah.
But people who are in the neighborhoods, the districts that are now proposed as historic, you know, potential historic districts might be interested. I mean, all the folks that live in Miramar,
right,
for example, would be maybe interested in the people in the 13 individual homes that are eligible.
Mm-hmm.
The two that we're going to probably put together with Miramar, you know, would be. Because those are the questions that people had at the meetings. You know, what can I do? Am I limited, or how do I go about it? So this is still kind of general, you know, but it gives them a place to start looking. So.
Right. And actually, from that meeting with the Miramar district, I did generate a pretty good list of email addresses too. So that'd be another good way to kind of directly get the information out to them.
That's right. You gave them your card, mm-hmm. which is a lot better than trying to read someone's handwriting on the sign-up sheet to figure out what the email is. Yeah, so that was good tactic. Yeah.
So that's all I really had for that. That's pretty much what Green Bay Historic Preservation Commission does. And I guess the biggest challenge is finding out a way to, you know, kind of educate the passive residents.
So they didn't have a direct way to reach out to people in their situation in Green Bay also? Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. So yeah. They weren't actively. Okay.
Could you put a link on our website to this website?
Yeah.
If people are looking, maybe they might be looking for that.
Does anybody else have any comments, suggestions?
Was one on your first slide? It was one very, very good document that everybody should read. Slide down a little bit. There you go. So on the bulletins under property types, the bulletin title, this came up in the December 2012 meeting, Historic Residential Suburbs Guidelines for Evaluation. That particular document describes ALOA perfectly. So out of all the documents you're ever going to read with regards to historic preservation, if you read that one document, you will know all you need to know about historic preservation for a suburb like ALOA.
Thanks. Any other discussion on this item? Hearing none, we'll go on to new business. Item number 8, discussion of mechanism for tracking work on historic homes. Trevor, I guess you have something on that too.
This was something that was asked at the February meeting to kind of have a way to track what work is being done on the historic homes currently by tracking the building permits that are being issued on those homes. Mm-hmm. Spoke with the building inspector, and although we have a new software that keeps track of our building permits, there's no way to directly, you know, alert you or filter by a select group of homes. So if we had a list of addresses for the historic, for the potential eligible homes, there's no way to kind of filter those out and kind of identify the permits, not at least at the level of software we have. So anything we do have would be manually kind of searching for, which could be done. But
quite a few homes, I mean, when you consider the three neighborhoods, the three districts, and, you know, a lot of extra work.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the software, well, I'm not a software guy. I'm surprised it doesn't have the ability to do a search. You know, show me these addresses.
Right.
It doesn't.
Well, you can search individually, address by address, but
you can't put a filter criteria.
You can't say show me any one of these. You know,
right.
You have to do it one by one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I was kind of surprised at that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's when you go back to the people that sold you the software, and they say, well, yeah, that'll be an enhancement, and we'll send the guy out for $100 an hour.
Can do it with an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. We'll set up a spreadsheet for
it. Okay, you can't export the data.
We might be able to.
Speaking of exporting,
so we didn't think about that.
You can pull it. You should be able to pull it out.
Yeah, let me look into that.
And then you just throw a filter on it.
I guess
most things, most data can be exported. Let's say have some.
It's probably run by an SQL database.
We'll look into that.
So I think it's important for the community to have that information. There's got to be a way to get it.
Yeah.
I think we talked about having something that we could look at. Was that one that we thought about maybe quarterly, have a review? Or
just something like a summary like that.
A summary, yeah.
Just a
yeah.
quarterly. It doesn't have to be every week or every 10 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A quarterly summary of activity. Yeah. Anything else? Anyone else have any suggestions or comments on this item? Hearing none, we'll go on to item number 9, discussion of April presentation, benefits of listing on the National Register of Historic Places by Dinah Pencunas, Wisconsin Historical Society. Do you have anything, Trevor, or do I? It was well attended. And were there 14 of the homes, 14 out of 26 were represented?
I believe so. I think one was individual home on Webster.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But yeah, 14, I believe.
So that's outstanding interest level. And and they ask a lot of good questions, and the discussion, or the question and answer period lasted quite a while. I mean, she spoke for 20, 25 minutes. I don't know. Tell me if I was wrong about the time. But, you know, but more than that was spent in question Q&A, and a lot of people asked questions. And they were all good questions, you know, reasonable questions. And we didn't hear any objections. We didn't hear anyone saying they weren't in favor of it, or they were suspicious, or they didn't like it, or they were going to talk to their neighbors. And, you know, we didn't hear any bad, any negative comments from anyone at that meeting. I guess the question that I have is, do we? Well, that those are, now we're ready for next steps, I guess, right? How do we do that process going forward, and to say yes, this is our, we are going to do this. And so I guess I'm asking what that, having not done this before, you know, what the process is to ensure that everybody, you know, do we say okay, we're going to do it, say speak now or hold your peace, or do we make another communication with all the residents to say that yes, we're going to be submitting our grant, we're going to include Miramar history in our grant request or grant proposal, and here's how we're going to do it. What do you, how can you advise? Maybe everybody else knows that.
I think the meeting we had in April was pretty good. Way of determining that Miramar was strongly supportive of going forward, like you said, Howard, and the Wisconsin Historical Society does require that we have a meeting similar to that by June of this year, if we do want to go forward. Mm-hmm. So I think we could include that as our meeting, as our outreach meeting.
Have another meeting with them?
No,
the one that we had.
Oh, the one that we had in April? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't attend the April meeting, but I attended the December one. Were there a lot of the same people or all new people at the April meeting? Or There were like three or four, I think, that came from Miramar to the December meeting. Do you recall?
Yeah, there were, I think, four. But it was a lot different. This was a lot. It was, they were, I think Dana said that that's most unusual and certainly encouraging to have that many people, that you wouldn't normally have that many people, that percentage,
mm-hmm.
come.
Oh, good.
So, and that's why I was asking the question was, can we take that as a yes from the residents of Miramar District, and you're saying, yes, we can, and we'll count that as a meeting, and we'll go forward with the process.
I think
that's what I'm hearing.
We've had multiple mailers on the topic now, right?
Yeah.
So I think if you've gotten multiple mailers. Yeah.
We're not going to get anything more.
You've been given your notice to.
Yep.
Air your grievances.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. We've been
had one. If you're indifferent, then
yeah, we've been forthcoming. We've offered a lot of communications.
Bobby, did the neighborhood invite you for coffee like they thought?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't like coffee.
Well, I was just wondering if there was a different crowd or if there was a different feeling.
No,
if they
I
had anything like that. Okay.
The only negative was that some houses were excluded.
Right.
There's two houses on the end.
The two on the end.
Yeah. So. Everybody's really positive in there. Even sitting on
yeah.
Right, and I passed out my cards to everyone, so it wasn't like anyone was too shy and didn't follow up later. I mean, I didn't hear any negative responses after. So.
Let's do that. Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Let's do it.
So.
I think that's number 11.
Yeah.
We're a little bit.
We're moving on.
We should move
ahead. Yeah. We're. I think we've had that discussion, and so now we're going to have item number 10, discussion of the CLG grant process.
And this will follow kind of the process we followed last year with the, or 2 years ago, I guess it was, right, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
With the other CLG grant the village received, and the neighborhood with a district, you have to have the meeting, like I said, by June. In September, you have to submit a letter of intent to the historic office, and that you do have to include one, but they do prefer two estimates of the project. And then the application is due in November. We'll hear if we get the award in February or March of next year. And we do have to have a competitive bid opening for consultants for that process. And we would have to make that determination by June of next year. What consultant we want to go with. If we did.
An RFP has to be issued.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So not a hard bid, just an RFP, and then is it totally price driven?
They want you to keep price as a factor. But the grant is a matching.
You already have the scope documents and everything together from the last time, so it's not a big deal. Who writes the scope?
We would have to kind of rewrite the scope because the last one was two individual homes.
Okay.
And so this one would be a district, so they believe you would have to, the consultant would have to generate a district plan as well. It's a little more involved, but along the same lines.
Trevor, for the letter of intent, do they require two bids and two cost estimates? Or did you say that they would? You could do one?
Right. I talked with Joe DeRose. He said one estimate is okay if you have been working with a specific consultant. But they do prefer two. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you do have to do the RFP either way. So whether if you've been working with one and you like them or not, you just have to do the RFP.
So what's the next?
So I guess the next step
June is coming up pretty soon.
Right. Probably July, we'll start drafting the letter of intent. And get that to the state office probably in August. That way they have a chance to look at it. They said they're happy to do that ahead of time. And then formally submit it in September.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I said June. There's nothing happening in June, right?
Right. Okay. Unless we wanted the meeting.
Unless we... Yeah, never mind. Sorry.
So I guess that would be the next step, is drafting a letter intending and kind of giving it to them.
But we need to have two RFPs for that letter?
Correct.
Okay. And
is that the... Two estimates.
Yeah. Okay. And is that a process that's doable?
Yeah.
We have one consultant that we're using, and so they would get one, and if you can... Who picks the second one?
I'd probably go on the state's website. They have a list of consultants, and unless...
We've had numerous bidders on our field.
Yeah. Unless anyone has a specific consultant.
So you could ask someone who's submitted a bid in the past that we thought might have been okay, or you can make your selection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
I think the University of Milwaukee submitted one last year. I can ask them for an estimate, and then I was going to go with Legacy as the other one if everyone's okay with that.
That's nothing that we need to make a motion on, or that we have to make it. We don't have to do anything other than agree that that's...
Well, you have approval to proceed, so does that mean you want like a motion?
Yeah, well, that's item 11.
Okay.
I think so.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. We're discussing it, and now we're going to say yes. Okay. Does anybody have any questions on item number 10? If not, then we'll move on to item number 11. Approval to proceed with the CLG grant process to nominate Miramar District and the two individually eligible listings to the National Register of Historic Places.
And what are the two individual? Is that the Don Hudson House?
Langley Road and South Webster Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Webster. The one in my
3430 Langley Road, 2568 South Webster.
Yeah.
Is that Jeff Brusky's house?
Yes.
Okay.
The one with the nice big red tile roof.
One, yeah, right across
the other
from
one from Roger Minahan house on Langlade, between St. Francis and Arrowhead.
Motion to approve.
And that is to, just to clarify, that would be to put together a letter of intent for these district in the two homes, and send that out to Legacy and University of Milwaukee.
A second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 12, approval of recommendation to change the number of Historic Preservation Committee members. We don't need to, no. So the recommendation was made by staff to the village board, if I'm not mistaken, for that included other commissions and committees who were kind of struggling with the same thing, having a quorum and being able to conduct the village's business in a timely manner. So the question, you know, the concept came up a couple months ago, and it was put forward, I guess, and the village board must have said, okay, if you want to do it, then tell us. Because the village board is okay with downsizing the number of members on committees and commissions from 7 to, in this case, 5. So if we did that, then we'd have we have a full, so we have seven now, so then we have five, and then two people here would be alternates then. Is that correct?
That would, that was the scenario I thought, if it was going to happen, be the most logical.
The other thing we could do is just not act on it, right?
Right, you could table it.
We could table it.
You're just trying to reduce your quorum requirement, right?
Correct. Yeah, because out of the past year, I've been here since last April. 12 meetings, we've canceled six, four doing two lack of quorum. So if we have five members in, we only have to have three members show up for quorum.
I make a motion to table.
I second it.
We have a motion to table and a second. Barb, is this one of those where we won't?
You know, I was wondering, did you have your sheet? Because was there something about...
Excuse us.
If something was tabled, then it would have to come back the next meeting, but there was something that would be, like, indefinite? Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, do you know which one it was?
No.
Was it laying it on the table? Was that the difference? No. Postponing to a certain time. So maybe that was specific. And if we table it, then it's open-ended?
We're
going
to delete the request.
Postpone indefinitely.
I don't know if we can ever bring it back, though, can we? Without
maybe we could just...
We postpone it to...
Table it.
September meeting?
Let's give ourselves a quarter and see how things turn in terms of... That'll get us through the summer and vacations and, you know, whatever. And, you know, see how we're doing after that. I'm okay with it. So we'll table it. I'm sorry. You had a motion.
There was a motion and a second.
Yeah.
Table to September. Is that okay?
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 13, next meeting date, June 24th, and agenda items.
I would like to see some discussion on the Coles estate. I'd be really concerned if that fence came down.
Okay. I agree. I think it's worth having as a discussion item, for sure, between now and then. You know, whatever. If you have information, you know, based on what Jim's put forward, or if you want something, I guess you need to decide, Trevor, if you want something in writing, or if you have what you need from our discussion and the transcription here to bring something to us that we can have an active discussion and some kind of resolution. I think the idea would be to not just talk about it, but have some kind of a resolution as to, yes, we agree and we're going to pursue it more, or we're not going to pursue it and here's why. Something like that. So we can actually take some action one way or the other.
I can definitely include what the DOT plans are up to this point.
Yeah, I think that's important because it does affect that gate and fence.
Anything beyond that, I might ask that Mr. Rourke provide something for me to kind of present to you guys.
Okay.
We can simply put it as a local designation as a historic structure for the next meeting.
We'd need that submitted by the property owners, though.
And no, I know the DOT at our last meeting when we had our Highway 57 meeting, our emergency meeting, the DOT sat at the table with us. I think it was that Dan. I don't know if it was that Dan.
Yeah.
The bigger guy. Yeah. And he said that they met with everybody down
They've
there
met with
that
the
abutted
residents
it, and they were all
adjacent
okay with having the fence moved and restored. And it would look the same, so it would not be a solid fence.
Yeah.
It would still be, they would try to match it as close as possible, but everybody that lived along that fence was okay with
there
that.
There was no objection to doing something to accommodate DOT. I think we ought to have this as an agenda item.
Okay.
To discuss it and make some kind of a decision.
Is there a water main on that side of the street?
Not sure.
That fence is in the right way, isn't it?
There will be in the new right of way,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
for sure.
Because the roadway is increased by, is it 4 feet? I forget. You've changed it a few times.
96 is total width, but I can't. That's what I thought. Yeah.
And one of the concerns was the pillar on the corner of Iroquois and Riverside being in the Vision Triangle, and the village said that that has been a concern, but knowing that the project was going forward, they were waiting to see what happened. But that was not a concern. And that one has been rebuilt. Maybe 2 or 3 years ago somebody hit it. So that one is up to an original pillar.
Just kind of a topic that relates to this. The DOT will be having a public input session, I believe, tentatively the date's June 17th at Alder Leopold. I'll make sure I forward that information to you as the DOT firm set date and location up.
Yeah, that's a good one to try and go to. Anything else that we know of now that could be on the agenda? Or we'll just leave it.
Also, the two houses in the Coles estate were not listed?
The main house is listed.
But the
chauffeur's house?
The chauffeur's house was not?
No, it just has the Frank Murphy house, 1920, at the 304 Braeborn. I think that the chauffeur's house is now addressed to Dushan
Lane.
That is not on here.
No, actually, that the front door on that one is Iroquois.
Is that the chauffeur or is that the caretaker? Did the chauffeur live above the garage?
It's one of the servants' houses.
Yeah.
Whether it's the...
I think the chauffeur lived above the garage. I think so.
But the caretaker house wasn't listed on there?
No.
Wonder why.
At the same time.
I know. I mean, I grew up, I was born and raised in that neighborhood, and you know, I just can't figure some of that out, I guess.
If we don't have any other agenda items, and we're okay with the date of June 24th, then I guess we're ready for item number 14, adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
We have a motion and a second. That's another one of those where we don't need a discussion.
That's right.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Did you get a copy of it?
Yes. I did. An email.
Did you give a copy of that to Brent too then, so you knew what we were talking
about? Oh, I can.
The listing of everything that was came up through the intensive survey as being eligible.
Eligible.
And a location. Do you live in one of the old ones, too?
No.
Oh.
That's all. It's been modified by itself.
I know what the Murphy thing, Steve.
How long did you live in Dade City for?
And she said because that estate has been broken up, that she had to twist the state's arm to even get them to approve the Murphy house. Because they usually like to see the whole...
I grew up in Ocala.
So they really didn't want to even approve the house.
My brother last year got married in Dade City. But what's the college there?
Integrity because it wasn't completed.
Yeah, it's not in Dade City. It's right outside.
And as far as locally designating it, there is that... the guidelines, and I think I gave you the copy of what they gave me at the state. What we should use for our guidelines for locally designating are the same as the federal guidelines.
Okay.
And I specifically asked about the fence, and because it's a remnant, that we should not, because it would not be allowed under the federal guidelines, we should not locally designate.
Yeah, it's pretty
weird.
Can be.
That's sort
of one way.
It is, but it's just a partial. Oh, yeah. It's just a partial fence, right. But the neighbors that live there are fine with having it redone. So.
The DOT met with three of the four.
At their house?
At their house. They went to their house, their home,
and had a meeting,
coffee or whatever, and talked about the plan.
Mm-hmm.